So good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting on this day, Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment sections of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if you want to remain anonymous, you may do so. And just a reminder to our staff, if you may please state your name and your role before presenting yourself to the committee and to the public. And for our committee members, if you may state your name before giving your comments or your questions. And with that, we'll open up today's meeting. The time is 6:04, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Digbush to call the meeting to order.
Yes, everyone, thanks for joining. I'd like to call the meeting to order for December 7, 2022, Finance Committee meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Digbush. With that, I'll record attendance. Dr. Digbush?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Here, Dr. Yabano?
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. Now that we have established quorum, we'll move next with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Digbush, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments. 6 minutes of translation is needed. If there's a member of the public that would like to make a public comment, you may unmute yourself now. Since there are no public comments at this time, we'll move forward next with the approval of minutes from the MPS Regular Finance Committee meeting on September 7th, 2022. Would a committee member like to move the motion to approve the minutes?
Move it, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Second, Umit.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for September 7th, 2022 has been approved. Now we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, approval of Magnolia Science Academy 4, 6, 7, and 8 fiscal benchmarks. This will be presented by Mr. Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. This is Steve Budraja, Chief Financial Officer for Magnolia Public Schools. This item that I'm bringing forward is one that we bring to you every year around this time, and it has to do with fiscal benchmarks. These were recommendations that were made back during the 2017-18 year on steps that we could take as a finance department to improve some of our processes. This was a recommendation from school services that had issued a report back during that fiscal year. I want to kind of go over some of that with you. If you could please scroll down a bit, Jennifer. Okay, a little bit more. Yeah, let's make it bigger. Okay. So back during the 17-18 year, there were a number of recommendations that were made to help us strengthen some of our internal controls, improve processes within the finance department, and just generally operate in a way that's just more efficient and with processes always being top of mind. And so some of those recommendations that were made, actually, nearly all of the recommendations that were made have since been implemented, and I'll kind of briefly go over those with you. Bank reconciliation reports, it was requested that we reconcile our bank accounts on a regular basis each month, and then also with the school sites, making sure that they're also doing their deposits in a timely manner, which we've since been doing, and that's been going well. Credit cards, basically limiting our limiting our credit card usage to select folks within the organization, and making sure all documentation is collected and we're following MPS board policies for use of credit cards. Automated clearinghouse, this is for ACH deposits. We do a good job with that, making sure that all of our documents are there's backup supporting any ACHs and it's cleared, and we double and triple check all of these things. So these were the recommendations. These were things that we had to do, and we obviously did them. We wanted to make sure that we were completely in compliance with policies. And then in addition to that, there were some other observations that were noted by school services. And these were things that they thought, you guys, you know, may want to consider this. It wasn't a requirement, but it was something that they wanted us to do. They thought it would help us as a suggestion to improve our processes. And so starting with home office needs to improve timelines, responses to the charter school division. This is the charter school division of LAUSD, which, you know, we've, I guess back during that time, we were maybe there was a little bit of lag time in our response. And since then we get back to LAUSD with requests within, it says 48 hours here. I want to say it's within 24 hours because we respond to them on a regular basis. So we haven't had any issues there. They also recommended that we update fiscal policies and procedures on things such as disbursements or credit cards, which I talked about. And the fiscal policies and procedures are reviewed and updated. The last time we did this was in April of the current year, 2022. And we'll obviously be reviewing those again during the spring semester, and making sure that anything that we're doing is always in accordance with the MPS fiscal policies and procedures. So that's done on an annual basis. And I think it's a great recommendation that we continue to follow that. The CSD also recommended that MRF present and discuss annual performance-based oversight reports with the governing board, which we've brought to you. Any information that is recommended, we like to share, not just with LAUSD, but with LACO and CDE and San Diego, with all of our authorizers. We like to make sure the board is apprised of any reports that we submit, any information that's performance-based, whether that be academic or accountability or any other metrics. We like to bring it forward just for the sake of transparency and making sure that everyone's on the same page. And so finally, if we can please scroll down, I don't think there's, okay, so this is the one that that I wanted to kind of discuss or just share with you. And one of the recommendations that was made is that we consider moving towards one consolidated financial system. Currently, we have three separate systems that we use that all interface with one another, but they are three separate systems. We use Paycom for our payroll. We use Schoolability for our general ledger and our AP, our accounts payable. And then we use Adaptive Insights for our budgeting. And so those three systems work together. We found a way to get them to all kind of, feed data off one another. And so we've looked into consolidating into a single system, and we've reached out to some different folks. We met with Sage Intact recently, about, I want to say about a month and a half ago. And we've been in talks with Intuit. Part of the challenge with this is that you really, there's almost like never a good time to do it because these systems are always running. Paycom is always processing payroll. The AP is always going. We always have vendors being paid, and we're always continuing to look at our budget and make adjustments. So those are some of the challenges that we've kind of looked at in terms of integrating one system. And it's not something we haven't thought about. It's we've had to look at multiple things, including the time it takes for implementation, the cost, and then really making sure that we don't have any issues in terms of our audit and missing something. So it's something we continue to look at. It was a suggestion and not a requirement. So I just wanted to kind of apprise you that yes, we are currently using different systems, and the idea of consolidating into one is something that we consider, and we continue to talk with different different folks about, different vendors. And it's something that I think we may do in the near future, but we really want to make sure it's done correctly, it's priced accordingly, and that it's done in a way that does not cause any disruption with any of our payments or any of our receipt of payments and things like that. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Jennifer with anything else.
Thank you, Mr. Budraja. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mekan. Thanks, Steve, for the presentation. So currently, Adaptive Insights, the one that we have, doesn't meet that goal. Or the accounting company we use is not sufficient enough, Steve?
No, it's sufficient. Actually, Adaptive Insights is a great program and it's a great budgeting tool, and we definitely use it. However, it doesn't, the system that we're using doesn't process our AP, our vendor payments. It doesn't, what it does is it feeds in general ledger data on a nightly basis through what's called a batch report. And so it takes that data and it shows up in the system that we can use for budgeting, but it's not like a one-stop shop. So we do use a few different systems. So I think Adaptive is great. I think it has a lot of capability. And you know, it's something we can look at in terms of maybe being able to get them to maybe do our GL or our AP. It's something that just is a pretty big undertaking, and we've not gone there yet.
Gotcha. So Adaptive doesn't have the AP services and such, then, like for accounting purposes, even if you wanted to.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so right now we use outside company too, right, to run our accounting and to assist us with the processes.
Right. Well, we use it's a program called Escape, and it's done through Schoolability. And so that was recommended, you know, some time back. And you know, we also work with DMS, and they use that for you know, their clients too. So that's another challenge, that it would be a big change, not just internally within Magnolia, but with also with DMS, who helps process a lot of our AP and our GL and some of the other things that we do. So it would be a pretty big change if we were just to switch out of it.
Gotcha. And timeline-wise, when are you guys looking at?
I want to say, I've looked into, LACO has a system called BEST that's a sort of a one-stop shop, and I've spoken to them, and they've talked about potentially 2023, and they're implementing their districts, and I think they still actually have their old system running, to my knowledge. They used PeopleSoft and HRS and some other systems, but they had to keep both systems running because you don't want to wind down the old system if there's still some need there. And so that's where it gets, you know, it gets tricky, it gets costly, and it's a pretty big undertaking, even though it probably doesn't seem like it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Is there any further questions or comments from our committee members?
Hi, this is Sally. Yeah, I have a question. I was wondering, like, would it be possible to put together like side-by-side comparison of pros and cons of consolidating or not? And I understand there are challenges with switching, but if everybody is able to do it, I understand whatever some transition time, whether it be several months or, I don't know, half years, I think having those information would be helpful to kind of get a bigger picture and then make a decision. Okay, how can we do it then? What can we do about it? And also maybe we can talk to, like, we have some partners, right, at the charter school. We can kind of get feedback maybe from them also, what they are using. And if they have switched, what experience they had. I think that will be very helpful to kind of see and guide our path towards whatever decision we'll be making.
Yeah, no, I think that's correct, Dr. Dikbush. I think that it would really be wise if we, you know, as we would go and undertake this, it would be wise to have at least at least about, three vendors. And, we talked about Sage, NetSuite, potentially the best system or potentially another Oracle system. So we really would have to look at side by side what those costs would be, what the timeline would be in terms of implementation, and really being able to bring that forward. We, as I mentioned, we've kind of looked and we've talked to some people. Initially, I'll tell you that the cost seemed to be pretty high. And so that's why we were a little bit reluctant, but I think that we've now reached out to another vendor that we think that the cost may be more reasonable. So I think that as we get into the new year, it's something that we would like to, delve into further and see what we can come up with.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dr. Digbush. Any further questions or comments from our committee? If no further questions or comments, the motion is for the committee to approve the actions taken by Magnolia Public School staff to address fiscal benchmarks noted by the Los Angeles Unified School District during their last renewal for Magnolia Science Academy 4, 6, 7, and 8. Furthermore, for the committee to move and recommend for the board to adopt the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move my card.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Digbush, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for your votes, committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of first interim reports for the 2022 through 23 fiscal year. Once again, this will be presented by Mr. Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Okay, well, back everyone. So I'm gonna go ahead and talk about our first interim report. This is basically the first snapshot that we have of our, since we did our adopted budget back June 23rd. It was, basically what's called our July 1 budget. And so given that we've had, a good amount of time since July 1, and we've been able to capture some actual data to see where we are in terms of our budget, enrollment, spending, And so this is a snapshot to kind of give you an idea of where we are. Since the July 1 budget adoption, there have been a couple of things that have come out. There was a proposed discretionary block grant that was supposed to be coming out that was since replaced with two block grants. One is the Arts and Music and Instructional Materials grant, and then the other one is the Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant. And so those had come out after the adopted budget, and So we've actually been able to capture those revenues in this budget. And then in addition to that, something that was not, something that we had anticipated but was not finalized was the hold harmless provisions. And that was a significant amount of money because of the fact that our school sites, most of them, with the exception of two, had decreased in enrollment over the course of the pandemic. And so the hold harmless, allowed them to be able to utilize prior year ADA enrollment to be able to be funded on that higher amount. So it was certainly helpful towards the budget, and you'll see that in the numbers here. And I'll kind of just go over some highlights as an overview, and then I will sort of dig into each school site and get into some of the meat of it. ADA, which is 3412, that basically is a decrease of what we had projected back in July. We had anticipated enrollment of closer to 3,800. We came in at closer to 3,600. Remember, ADA is the kids in the seats that we get funded off, which for us is about 95%. So for example, for every 100 students that are enrolled, we get funded on 95 of those kids because they're the ones that are showing up and they're the bodies in the seats. And so 3412 was our ADA. Our enrollment was 3590. And so so that close to 3,600. And so so this is the number that we're at currently. Our revenues came in at a little over 79 million, which was an increase of 1.65 million from budget. The expenditures were about 74.86 million, also an increase of about 1.15 million. Our net surplus is 4.19 million, and that's up slightly from when we did our budget. If we could please go to the next page. And so this is just kind of a top line. If you could, yeah, just make that a little bit bigger. So basically, when we did our budget, we had anticipated, we had anticipated 3,652.88, right? And then so we came in at 3,412. That was about 240 difference. But the revenues were still solid because of the fact that we were able to realize hold harmless revenues and those two block grants that I'd mentioned. So at budget, we were at about 77.3 million, and we came in at right around a little over 79 million, which is about a $1.6 million increase from July 1. And then on the expenditure side, 74.8, I'll call it close to 74.9 million versus the 73.7 that we had anticipated. Also an increase, but overall in the black, we had anticipated net revenues or operating surpluses of about 3.6, 3.7 million. We came in closer to 4.2. So that was about a half a million dollar increase from what we had budgeted. And if we go down, you can take a look at our beginning fund balance, which was 43.6 million and now projected to end the year June 30th, 2023 with 47.8 million. So healthy ending fund balance and cash balances. Reserve for economic uncertainty is certainly there. You see that at 38.5 million net assets. So we're in a good place in terms of just having cash on hand, having healthy fund balances. And I'll share that with you by site here. If we go, so here's kind of an overview of each school site, and I'll give you just kind of an overview, and we can get into additional in detail as well. So we'll start with MSA 1. They their enrollment came in at 696. They actually had 14.3 million worth of revenues offset by 13.4 million worth of expenditures, resulting in a net revenues or surplus of about close to $920,000. So obviously they're operating in the black. Looks like a healthy fund balance, their ending fund balance of about close to $10 million. Going on to MSA 2, 511 was the enrollment. And also, you know, 9.3 million worth of revenues offset by about $8.7 million worth of the expenditures with a surplus of about $664,000. These two schools were actually increasing in their enrollment during the pandemic. If you look at the trends, MSA 1 was in the fives in terms of enrollment, and MSA 2 was around 430-ish, 440. So both schools have gone up in enrollment since the pandemic and have not lost students. So that's an important point to make on those. Moving on to MSA 3, enrollment at 381. Total revenues, $8 million, offset by about $7.6 million worth of expenditures, resulting in net revenues of close to $460,000. And so you see the ending fund balance there. MSA 4, projected enrollment 102. And then similarly here, smaller budget, of course, less students, 2.6 million worth of revenues offset by close to that worth of expenditures, resulting in a small surplus of about $27,000. Going over to MSA 5, enrollment held steady, 238. You've got $5.6 million offset by about close to $4.5 million, but they also had a nice projected net revenue of $1.1 million for the year and significant reserves. You see that over $4 million worth of ending fund balance. So that's definitely a positive. MSA 6, similar to MSA 4 in the enrollment at 91, at $2.7 million worth of revenues, offset by about 2.5 million worth of expenditures, resulting in a net surplus of about $207,000. Also maintaining reserves, of over $2 million. Going over to MSA 7, we've got enrollment at 253, revenues of 5.6 million, offset by 5.47 million worth of expenditures, $190,000 worth of surplus, and then the ability to maintain their reserves and a funding, ending fund balance of about $2.7 million. Going over to Bell, we've got 385 students enrolled, 7.7 million worth of revenues, offset by about 7.4 million worth of expenditures, resulting in a surplus of about $372,000, call it, and maintaining in excess of $6 million in fund balance. Going over to Santa Ana, projected enrollment 502, you've got 10.5 million worth of revenues, offset by close to that worth of expenditures, 10.46, and then resulting in about a $90,000 surplus. And then also the reserves, as you see there, of in excess of $9 million. MSA San Diego, 423 enrolled, gives you $5.7 million worth of revenues, offset by close to 5.64 worth of expenditures, resulting in a small surplus, about $61,000. And finally, home office, as I had mentioned back when we did the July 1 budget, we really wanted to carefully evaluate our CMO fee structure and make sure that we try to align it and do our direct costs appropriately. So you see there, we've got $6.6 million worth of other local revenues. These are, CMO fees that we collect from the sites, as we don't receive any direct funding from the state, offset by close to 6.59 million worth of expenditures, resulting in a small surplus of about $42,000. So all schools are in the black, and obviously that's a good sign. And, we've worked carefully with the site principals on their budgets, and we continue to evaluate things on a regular basis and have conversations about expenses and staffing and all of those things. And so this has been sort of the culmination of the last, month and a half or 2 months worth of that, of looking at expenditures, revenues. And so if we can please go down. Okay. And so obviously there's going to be some other considerations. So we're, things are looking positive in the current year, but we know that there's always challenges ahead. That's kind of the way it is with school finance and funding. The Hold Harmless, which we received in excess of $4 million, helped us a great deal. But we know that's not going to be around every single year. We're, likely not going to see that for the current year. So that's a challenge when we, as we begin to plan for our next July 1 budget. Now, based on state estimates, this was a report that came out by the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office. The state is projecting a $25 billion deficit. And we know that in 2022-23, they had a $95 billion surplus. So, things appear to be, changing. And so we're going to have to be careful and be able to adapt to these changes. And so as we develop our budget for July, we're going to have to really carefully monitor expenses, look at enrollment, look at staffing, look at all of those things, and begin to plan. The governor's January proposal will be out over the next 3 to 4 weeks here. And so I plan on being at that school services workshop and interested in finding out where we come in terms of state revenues, and ultimately see what the impact is going to be on our schools. And so I can get into additional details, but for right now, I can go ahead and turn it back over to Jennifer with, go ahead, Jennifer.
Sorry, Mr. Budrasha, does that conclude the presentation, or we're still going to keep on going?
We can, let's go and keep on going. I want to give a top line overview. I think this would be helpful. So this is basically a consolidated budget, as you see. These are all the things that I mentioned, but I just wanted to kind of show you in detail. We're looking at $4.2 million worth of surplus for this current year. If we could please go to page 16.
Sorry, 16?
Yes. Okay, and so yeah, this is the consolidated MSA one. And so when we did the budget, and this is important, I want to make sure that we're kind of clear on by site, because I did give you a top line, but I think this is helpful to see specifically by school. So for example, when we did the budget for MSA one, we had anticipated enrollment of 701 came in, I'm sorry, 88, came in at 661. And so that was a 40 student difference from when we had done our adopted budget. All the numbers still remain the same. They had projected a surplus of 934,000. Now it's 919. So not a big difference. Again, given the loss, given 40 students less than what we had projected, the result was not as was not as significant as of a decrease as would have been expected. And that really has to do with the whole, well, not so much the hold harmless for MSA one, but really some of these block grants that we've been able to get that have been able to help kind of really increase the per pupil amount funding. MSA one currently, with all the revenues, including the other state, the federal, looking at about $20,000 per student. So it's a pretty significant amount. And so, if we could please go over to page 22. This is MSA 2. Again, as I mentioned, similar growth. We had anticipated 492, 88, came in at 485. They do have over 500 students enrolled. And so still not a significant difference in revenue than what we had budgeted back in July, about 9.35 million worth of revenues. We had expected 9.26. So not a significant difference. And then the expenditures, close to 8.7 million versus the 8.34 that we had projected back in July. Their net surplus, or net revenue as we call it, 664,000 versus the 928,000. We did anticipate more kids. They obviously, I think, you know, they're given the limitations in space and staffing at that, really in space at that site, I think was a bit of a challenge in terms of getting the enrollment to fully materialize. We could go to page 28. MSA 3, Carson. So we had projected 396, 88, 362 is what we came in at, 34, 88 difference. They benefited significantly from the hold harmless. As you can see there, 7.45 million worth of revenues is what we had anticipated. We got over $8 million. And so the site is currently, the enrollment's down. I did some trend analysis on the sites from going back from during the pandemic, you know, just the 1 year, the 18-19 year, that was the one pre-pandemic year. And for MSA 3, they're down 129, so about 25% from where they were back during pre-pandemic days. But the hold harmless was certainly beneficial in terms of sustaining revenues. But we were able to manage a nice surplus there of $460,000. But obviously, in planning for next year, we're really going to have to take a look at that enrollment, because we're not going to be able to have the benefit of hold harmless. It's very unlikely that we will. And so that's something that, you know, is important to note. It's something that we obviously communicate with the sites and the site principals. Next, if we could go to page 34, yes, MSA 4. So this one, also, you know, very much similar to the previous one that I talked about. We had, with MSA 4, we had anticipated 910, 88, 97 was what came in. That's about a 13 student difference. But also, you know, they were able to benefit from the hold harmless, and as well as to a lesser degree, some of these block grants, may be able to maintain a surplus. But again, their enrollment is down. If you go back to, you know, 18-19, they're down about 74 students, so about 42% from what they were prior to the pandemic. So it's something obviously we want to look at carefully and evaluate as we move along into the year, because that's a significant decrease. If we could go to page 40, okay, great. MSA 5, their enrollment has been more steady over even since during the pandemic. I was taking a look, if you go back, we our board approved budget was 240, they came in at 226, so about 14 off. They were at right around 238 in 18-19 prior to the pandemic, and they went up a little bit during those pandemic years and then went back down a little bit. But all in all, it's only about a 4% change, 4% decrease from prior to the pandemic. And they get a significant amount of money per student because of the population that MSA 5 serves. And so you're looking at about $21,000 per student. And so that certainly helps. And then, you know, being co-located with MSA 1 and being able to share some cost, they're able to, you know, really be able to do things and then still maintain a nice healthy surplus, as you see there, of $1.1 million. If we could go over to, 46. So this is MSA 6. We are very similarly, similar to MSA 4, we have 86, you know, students. We'd anticipated 115. The Hold Harmless was certainly helpful. They were able to maintain a balanced budget still in excess of $200,000 worth of net revenues. You know, however, their enrollment is also down by about 65 kids or 42%. So that's a pretty significant difference between now and prior to the pandemic. And so this is something we also have to carefully plan for and look as we get closer into the year and as we begin planning for you know, the next year's budget, we really have to look at these numbers and see if, you know, see how these trends materialize. Okay, now going over to MSA 7, here we've got enrollment that's been, you know, relatively flat. We had anticipated 288, we came in at 250, and if you look at the revenues, we're actually decreased. They had a pretty good decrease from what we had planned during budget. Their reduction of about 38 students than what we had anticipated. So you see some of the decrease in revenue there from budget by about $254,000. Yet, you know, the costs have been relatively, you know, flat, been fairly fixed over there. So with the offset of the expenditures, we're looking at a surplus of about $190,000. Their enrollment prior to the pandemic was 263. And so overall, if you look at a trend line, they're about 10%. There's about 10% variance between pre-pandemic to now. So it's been relatively flat, but down a little bit. And they're also dealing with some facilities issues that can be an impediment on enrollment. And if we go over to MSA 8, Bell, and so here very similarly, we had anticipated 384, a little, not as significant of a decrease, but still 18 students, but they were able to take advantage of Hold Harmless and capture additional revenues of about 7.7 million versus the 7.1 we had budgeted, and then be able to maintain a surplus of about 371,000, you know, for the current year. Looking at the trend line, they are down overall by about 18% since prior to the pandemic. So that's about 86 kids. And so this is another one where we have to really look at the enrollment and carefully monitor to see where we were gonna be during the next school year. We go over to MSA Santa Ana. So here we had projected 499, we came in at 477. So a difference of about 22. Revenues came in slightly lower than what we had projected during budget at 10.55 million versus the 10.71. Expenses came in 10.46, so small surplus of about $90,000. They've had you know, some costs associated with facilities and some other things that we've had to take into account. But again, you know, the per student amount here is also pretty high. They're up closer to about 19,000 per ADA. And so that's certainly beneficial to be able to capture maximum value off each student. And then if we can jump over to MSA San Diego. Now here you have an enrollment trend which has been relatively flat. We had anticipated 425, came in at 402, so 23 student decrease. Overall, if you go back to prior to the pandemic, they were at 423. So really there's been about a 4% variance in their enrollment from the time of prior to the pandemic to now. So they've been right around 400-ish in terms of number of students. The issue obviously with MSA San Diego is they don't have a significant amount of students that are disadvantaged in terms of population demographic. So they don't get a significant amount of money per student. Their average per pupil dollar amount is about $13,500. When you compare that to like an MSA One or even a Bell where they get close to $20,000, they're getting about two thirds of what the other schools get. So their challenge is they're just not able to collect as much off per kid based on the population in San Diego and based on some of the other factors. All things being considered, they're able to maintain a surplus of about close to $61,000. And finally, home office, as I mentioned, we had anticipated about 6.4 million in expenditures. Came in a little higher than that. We added a few positions on that were critical, and so that resulted in a little bit of an increase. But we're able to direct charge those costs onto the site and maintain a balanced budget with a little bit of a surplus of close to $42,000. Excuse me. So that's what I have for you in terms of breakdown by site. I'm going to go ahead and just turn it back over to Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Budraj. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Any questions or comments from our committee members before reading the motion?
Thank you, Steve. This is Mia Khan. Steve, so the state had given a $25 billion budget deficit, and we had the hold harmless. How long the hold harmless will continue?
Well, that's something that we'll find out more in January, but I'll tell you, I think it's fairly unlikely at this time, especially given the fact that the state is facing a deficit. They'd always done it for districts, like during the pandemic. For the last 3 years, districts have always been able to get that because, they just were kind of almost automatic. We had to wait. We weren't sure. We had to wait for some trailer legislation to come in. And we found out that we got hold harmless, but we weren't guaranteed of it. So during this next upcoming fiscal year, when you consider the state is facing a $25 billion budget, the state budget was about $300 billion last year when it was adopted. 40% of that money goes towards education, both K-12 and higher ed. So I can't imagine the $25 billion hit wouldn't affect K-12, charter schools, including school districts. So to answer your question, I don't think it's very likely that we'll get hold harmless for the current year. I mean, I may be wrong, but I'm just looking at the totality, given all the circumstances and the things in terms of state revenues and just economic times. I would say it's unlikely, but I don't know for sure. I'll know more definitely as we get into January and we see the January proposal from the governor.
Okay. If it doesn't hold, how do we look with these ADAs and everything?
Well, we would, for some of the sites, I'd say for a lot of the sites, we would be fine. You know, we would be okay. They've got sufficient enrollment. I would say that there would be some challenges to some of the sites that have lower enrollment, you know, and then possibly the ones that have less money per pupil. So I would say somewhere between 3 to 4 sites, we would have to really carefully monitor and evaluate. And I think a little more than half the sites would be able to make some tweaks to their budget and, you know, potentially be okay. But that's just, that's a cursory overview. I'd have to look at each one by site and give you more detail.
Yeah, I would like to see that by board meeting specifically, because half of the schools is a lot of schools. Okay, I appreciate that. We need to be prepared for Plan B. Because that day is coming. State giving $25 billion deficit is very serious. It hasn't affected us yet, but it will. So if you could please sit down with the finance team and how it will look given that Hold Harmless doesn't continue and state is what it is and ADA is holding at what it is. I think we should take a look at it. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. And just to be clear, by tomorrow, the regular board meeting.
So in tomorrow's meeting, I would like to have the whole board take a look at them more thoroughly, yes. It's not my anticipation to have the detailed tables. Feel free to go or to arrange something in regards to this at a later finance meeting. But I think it's in our best interest to see where will we be at when January comes and numbers fall where they need to, and we don't have the Hold Harmless and we're down by 280 ADA. That's a lot of dollars. So I just want to see where we are. And if it's too soon for tomorrow's meeting, Steve, stated it so right now, so that we prepare for it at a next finance committee meeting, or yeah, at your time when you think it is feasible.
Yeah, I really think, Mr. McGrath, I really think that as we get information on the state budget in January and we actually get an idea of what that means per ADA, and then we factor in the Hold Harmless, I think that would give us a much better picture. So while I'd love to be able to tell you specifically by tomorrow what that's going to be, I just think it requires a more careful and comprehensive review. But I'd be happy to bring that back to you later, as after the January proposal and sometime into January or February, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, that works. As long as you're on it and we are informed about it, and which specific schools, please have them on your radar, and please inform us about those schools as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve. So Jennifer, to answer your question, so Steve will keep us posted in the after the January update, and probably towards end of January or early February meeting.
Okay, and just to make it clear, based on our calendar, we have the next finance committee meeting on March 2020.
Okay, if in this case, we might request, I mean, Dr. Dikwash, of course, would need to be consulted, but if necessary, we'll have a special finance committee meeting if we have to.
Right, thank you for that. Sense. Any further questions or comments from our committee members? If no further questions, the motion is for the committee to approve the fiscal year 2022 through 23 first interim budget reports as the most recent revised budget for the 2022 through 23 fiscal year. Furthermore, for the committee to move and recommend for the board to adopt the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Dikwash.
I'll second.
Yes, thank you. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dikwash?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Iapono.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. Thank you everyone for joining. At this time, I'll turn it over to Dr. Dick Bush to adjourn. The time is 6:53 p.m.
Yes, thanks everyone for joining. Yes, I'd like to adjourn the meeting at 6:53 p.m.
Thank you everyone, have a great night.
Thank you, have a good night everyone.
Bye.
Good night, thank you.